Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
Alyssa Magic Mikev. And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch and talk about and make fun of, but secretly still love. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender. Joining me today on this wonderful Monday afternoon is the hilarious and lovable Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Bean.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing so fabulous. You know, Meghan Markle is all of us, and she is now Meghan married.
Yeah, Meghan married Markle. Good for her. She locked that one down. Good for her. I am excited because not only did Meghan Markle get married this weekend, but we got married to some great news, which is that we are doing a second show in New York. We sort of said that we'd be doing a second show, and they're like, actually, we're doing one show. Well, our first show in New York sold so well. I mean, it's actually like teetering on selling out that the Gramercy Theater is like, you've unlocked the second show. So we are doing a second show in New York City. October 11th. Tickets are on sale now. So if the first show has already sold out and you didn't get your tickets, don't worry. There's a whole second show, okay? So, and then on top of that, we have like a bajillion other shows. A bunch went on sale last week. But our next shows are going to be Phoenix and San Francisco next month. They are going to be fabulous. Buy your tickets. Go to watchacrappens.com to get tickets for those shows or a show that's in your neighborhood. A lot of people don't seem to realize that we're doing shows all over. We're doing a show in Florida. We're doing shows in Atlanta, Philly, Kansas City, St. Louis, all across America, and now Montreal, because we're going to the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival, starring Kevin Hart and Trevor Noah and Tiffany Haddish and us.
Our next shows are in Phoenix, where we're going to do Real Housewives of New York, and then San Francisco on Gay Pride, where we are going to do Southern Charm Gay Pride night. Have some special appearances by ourselves doing Luann stuff.
Special guests, us.
You just never know what's going to happen, but San Fran is always a party, so plan on coming to those. Those are in June. And there we did it. We shilled all that shit. The last thing to tell you is that our Give Them Ben Ron shirt is limited. You've got like a week and a half to get those. Just go to watchatcrappens.com for the address to the shop link, or just go to crappensmerch.com. And thank you to everybody who supported those. I cannot believe like hundreds of people are wearing our faces.
I know. It feels so good. Let's see. What, my face is on top and yours on the bottom. So I'm up in the boobies and you're in the belly.
Oh, no, sir. I'm in the boobies.
Oh, I'm in the belly?
You're in the belly. I purposely put myself in the boobies.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because I gave myself goal face, so it's kind of small. It's smaller than my real face, so your boobies will like bring me back to my realistic facial size.
Oh, okay. Cool. And, you know, if you're pregnant, then I will also be put into my realistic size. My face will be on your baby. So, go to watchacrappens.com. Just make it a habit. Go there, check, make sure you get your stuff. We are really excited to do for those shirts and for all our shows. I'm so excited for the Just for Laughs Festival. So all those links, every single gosh darn link in our social media and all that stuff. And we have a new episode of So Much That Crappens that went up today, which is our digital series. So go check that out on TV Party app. It's really just the best. Almost as good as Real Housewives of Potomac, which was so funny.
You're welcome, everybody. That was a quick chill.
Quick shill. Oh, Shilla, let me love you to the... Okay.
Okay, so... Boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, 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 boom,
That's my... That's the horn section. So Real House of the Potomac. It's been like 5 episodes in a row that have ended with to be continued, but here we are again, picking up mm-hmm. where the last one left off. Previously, in case you had forgotten, the ladies were at Nemacolin, the exotic Nemacolin resort in somewhere in Pennsylvaniaville. And basically the cliffhanger is Sasha saying, "Well, Karen, you told me the other night that Ray asked for a divorce. Is that true?" And she's like, "Yes, yes, it is, yes." So now
she was doing that a lot today, Karen. I'm glad you noticed that and added it into your Karen. Karen did have some like loose denture action going on.
Yes. Well, she's got a little bit of what was Jim Carrey's character on In Living Color, like Fire Marshal Bill or something like that. Remember where he played this like awful fire marshal who was like constantly lighting places on fire? Remember that character? She's got a little bit of that in her.
Yeah. So she's a little Fire Marshal Bill, but I'd never noticed it till today, and then I was like, did she forget her denture glue at home? Like, everybody on this show forgot something sticky. She forgot her denture glue. Candace forgot her boob tape, or if she brought it, she said she brought it but didn't really use it because she mm-hmm. put the special effects crew into overdrive trying to put digital shit over her nipple.
Yeah. I actually was wondering later on when we get to it, when her nip is showing and there's like a little thing on it. I was thinking to myself, wouldn't it be funny if her nip wasn't out at all, but they just put it there and just to make it look like it had fallen out? Because they totally could have. We wouldn't know.
They're just trying to nip shame her. Yeah. It's like, okay, we'll make someone into an alcoholic and we'll make someone into just a booby showing, you know, hooker face.
You Let's know, editors, do it. Editors love doing that shit. They've got nothing, you know, they've got nothing else to do but to sit like and watch this footage for hours and hours. So they just will like, let's fuck with her. You know, let's put a little areola pixelation on there to make everyone think that her boob is just sticking out. She doesn't realize. I would do it.
Yeah, that's some areola shade editors. Okay. Yeah. We see you.
Areola Grande. So,
Sasha's like, you said they wanted the divorce, which, hey, nice talking to you, Sasha. Yeah. It's like, geez, can we have girl time? It's a slumber party. Am I not allowed to tell you anything?
No, you can't tell Sasha nothing. So everyone's like, really, Karen, is this recently? She's like, no. It was a long time ago. It was a long, long time ago. And, oh, sorry, I was going to try to do American Pie, but I just realized I didn't know a lyric, the next lyric, or 10 after that.
Ray told me, bye bye, Miss American Pie, because Miss America Pie wanted to be Miss America Pie instead of Mrs. American Pie. So I ended up just staying with him and being like, you know what? I'm just happy as a pie.
Bye bye, Miss Potomac Pie. Send my Chevy to Great Falls where the levees run dry. And good old moms
drinking whiskey and rye, waiting for me to move right in next door to them, which is why I'm in Great Falls.
That was the day this press conference died.
That was the day that this press conference pied.
No more questions on the day the press conference pied. No more questions.
I'm only taking questions from Fox News today. Fox?
All right. No more questions. No comment. Like, Karen. So, yeah, she basically said, oh, well, Ray asked me for a divorce, but a long time ago. And Charisse and Karen are both... says, well, Karen didn't make it sound like it was a long time ago. She said it was recent, last night when we were talking. Ta-ta.
Yeah, Sasha, the fact checker over there. So good with her facts.
Yeah, but in this case, you have to believe Karen. I mean, Sasha, because Karen is real slippery with the truth.
Well, this is tricky about this show because I can not believe Sasha and still not believe Karen. Or, you know, you don't have to believe one or the other. You know what I mean? That should have been reversed, but you know what I mean. So Sasha's like, oh, they handled that really well. Damn it. What do I say now? But are you worried about something? Anything? Are you worried? And she's like, of course I'm worried about his health. Hence, I have things I'm working through. I was like, okay, Shakespeare.
Yeah. She goes, Ray and I went through a very difficult time, very rough time, and we worked our way through it. It was a hard time. It was basically there were these new things called flat screen TVs, and we'd have to give up our tube TV, and we said, no, we're going to stick by it. We're loyal to our Mitsubishi television.
I'm not taking something off my wall with a curly cord. If there's a phone with a battery in it, I've certainly never approved of that. Next question.
I mean, when people said they were getting rid of their fax machines, I said, why would you do that? I mean, I live with facts, not by lies.
the same thing I said when they tried to get rid of the mailman. I said no. And guess who still comes by occasionally? The mailman.
Now, excuse me, I have to unfold my flip phone here and dial in some numbers. I have to call my landline to see if it's working. I'll check my answering machine.
So
she's saying, like, oh, I'm worried about Ray, his health, his rice, I don't know how it's faring, people don't need carbs anymore. So then it starts to circle back to the dizzy bitch comments she made the night before to Robin, because they're saying, well, it seems like you have a lot on your plate, and maybe that's what you internalize a lot, and then you spew out on other people. And so, like, for instance, when you called Robin a dizzy bitch, Robin's like, yeah, I'm not stupid. I have a college degree. Do you? And Karen goes, no, I refuse mine. Like, it's not like a tray of spanakopita coming by at a wedding reception.
I will refuse that college degree. Thank you, Trey Passer. I would much rather something African, as that is the theme of our party.
I would not like to have my college degree, but I will take a chicken satay. Yeah, so she.
I will take a college satay. Thank you. Thank you, Trey Passer.
Do you have any diplomas in a blanket? No? Okay. Well, I'll refuse this version of a diploma.
I love this dizzy bitch thing and Robin just getting so mad about her education. Yeah. And Giselle's like, well, you know, we don't know much about Karen's past, but we do know that she's worked at Taco Bell.
Yeah. So then Karen elaborates on how, like, everyone's like, you refuse your diploma. You can't just, like, refuse it. And why would you? She goes, well, my parents offered it to me and I walked away from it because I was an entrepreneur. And I was like, so is she saying that because she was an entrepreneur, she didn't go to college, so her parents were like, we're going to give you an honorary degree because you went to, like, the School of Hard Knocks or whatever? Like, I did not follow it at all. It made no sense. And no one questioned it.
Well, I did go to the School of Hard Knockers, which is why I had them taken out. Chose that over a degree. I like that she pretends she just chose not to go to college, like, a few months ago and took a year off. Like, you know, that was a really, really long time ago. And now she's just going to say, I've been an entrepreneur. She's never had a damn business.
I know.
She's not even trying to come up with a fake business that she's had.
I just like the idea that her parents gave her a college degree. You know that they loaded up their Broderbund print shop, you know, on their Apple IIgs and spent 10 minutes watching it print out on, like, the dot matrix printer, like, and, you know, it's like it says, like, to Karen, congratulations on graduating College of Life, you know, in that weird sort of, like, that blocky font that was really big on print shop, you know, it was like, it sort of looked like Old West Saloon, you know?
They just got her a cap and a coffee cup that says, like, best daughter ever. She's like, I refuse this. I refuse this.
Your GPA was a 6.3. I was like, it only goes up to 4, but that's fine. But that's right, I was exceptional.
So she's like, now my new entrepreneurial endeavor, if you will, is dun 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 fragrance.
I mean, discovery phase. Yes, yeah. You ever heard the Mars Discovery Pro? Yes, no, it's Karen Discovery.
And Giselle's like, discovering fragrance, and Ashley's just cracking up. She's like, that is so shady. She's discovering ways to hide from the IRS.
Yeah, Ashley goes, does discovery mean she's discovering how to start a business with no money?
It's the Discovery Chanel. Yeah. I hope that's not trademarked.
I was just about to make a joke about Discovery Channel, and then I realized what you just did there. That is brilliant. Discovery Chanel.
So Karen's like, ladies, I was about to offer you a chance to discover. But if you don't want it, Monique's not even paying attention because this shit is so crazy. And all she can think about is herself. She's and like, this. Well, as far as, I, and yeah, Tito's. She's like, as far as I'm concerned, these ladies are not my friends, especially when you try to make something so innocent into something illegal. Like, it is illegal to drink and drive, okay?
Yes.
You turned that into illegal.
Yeah, you had two martinis. Like, conservatively, you had two martinis and you drove. That, yes, that is actually, that is not innocent. That's actually, it's actually, like, explicitly illegal. Yeah, so Karen's like, well, I feel disrespected. I want to see more appreciation of the fact that I'm inviting you to my discovery phase of my business. My discovery phase, an invitation to it.
Now, before we start talking about alcoholism, I'd like to say my name is Karen Huger, and I'm discovering fragrance. Guilty. Guilty of smelling delicious in the first degree.
Excuse me, everyone. I can't stay here for very long. I'm on an international quest to discover my fragrance. Last time I checked, Fragrance San Diego was in Belfast, so I'm going to go there before a safe falls on my head.
So then Karen, everyone's Ashley's like, let's go to the jacuzzi, which never sounds like a good idea on these shows.
Yeah.
So everyone goes to put on their bathing suit, and you know, everyone's changing, so that's like a classic housewife thing where it's like ba-dum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum. They're putting on their bathing suits. Ba-dum,
yeah.
Ba-dum, bum, bum, bum. Someone else is putting on a bathing suit. I was like, thanks guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
So Karen has still not figured out how microphones work. I mean, she's barely progressed to the universal remote on her tube TV. So the microphone is just a whole frontier. I mean, she's in the discovery phase of technology. So Karen and Giselle are changing behind closed doors, and they're talking about Ray, and Karen starts saying things like, I mean, I don't know, but the divorce thing, I mean, was he trying to protect me? I don't know. And so Giselle's like, the way she's talking about it sounds pretty much like it happened like in the past few months, you know, like it happened recently.
Yes. And yeah, Karen, she doesn't know how doors work either. She just keeps going behind. Whenever a door shuts, she'll just say the worst things that gets herself in trouble. So she's like, well, you know, you knew me back when something happened, but I didn't tell you. Akachakacha. Fragrance. Spread the word. Karen's coming out with the fragrance. And then she's like, well, it made no sense, but I think he's trying to protect me. And Giselle's like, I don't understand what she's saying right now. She says it's not about leaving her, but protecting her from the IRS. So which is it?
Yeah, it was a weird moment because Giselle was whispering something to her. So Giselle knew that the microphone was there, but Karen just seemed to not care or know, you know?
Yeah. So she's in her own little Huger world.
Yeah.
So Ashley, Robin, and Shasha. I was like, who's Shane?
Tha-tha. Shane. Is that my new name?
Is that Thane?
Is that Thane? Thane Lamoth. So they're playing around. They're up in Karen's room and they're looking for Karen's wig and they can't find it in any of her luggage.
And then they finally find it wrapped in a plastic bag like poop.
Yeah.
It's like in one of those grocery store Ralph's bags or whatever. And so Ashley's like, oh my God, what kind of wig is this? Especially fitted one? And it's the headband wig.
Yes. is that because the headband goes up above the wig? Is that what it was supposed to do? Because she was wearing it like a chin strap.
Yes. She wore it like a chin strap. But I think it was a headband wig.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, who has a wig with a chin strap? It's like her helmet. I just want to be on the streets of Fragrance Boulevard, and I want to be safe.
It's like some sort of like new version of a jockey helmet. You know, she's like, well, I want to ride a horse and wear my wig at the same time.
So the ladies gather downstairs in their swimming suits.
Yeah.
And Robin's like, I have an announcement. There's a new friend in the house. And Candy's like, is that me, the stripper?
Well, so at first what happened was Candace goes, when Robin's like, we have a new friend in the house, and Candace, who is wearing sort of like a stripper bathing suit, let's be honest, I mean, that puss was almost fully out, Erica Jane style, but Robin's like, we have a new friend in the house, and Candace is like, is it me? And Robin goes, no, not a stripper, and I was like, oh, that's shady, but then I heard, when I rewound that, I heard in the background someone said, is it a stripper? So I was like, oh, I was really hoping to clock Robin for being shady.
I know, Robin's so excited to rag on Karen that she just let all of that pass and didn't start shaming Candace for being possibly a stripper. So Robin's like, no, it's my new friend, Kern Huger or Kern Hugger.
I'm like, Robin, can't you come up with like a better fake name? Just replace the consonants. Be like Burn Booger. Like, she's just like Karen Huger. I mean, if you do the fake name, like, just do it right. Not Kern Huger.
Kern Huger.
She just lowered the vowel. She's like, not Karen Huger, Kern Huger. I guess she did the same thing that I'm saying. Fine. Fine.
So Ashley comes in and just starts doing impersonations of her, and she's like, "Hello, I love wine. Ooh, raising trouble. Ew, fax machine. Gust of wind." And then her wig comes off.
Yeah, it was actually hilarious. And Karen was losing her shit. Everyone was afraid that Karen was gonna be mad, but Karen was, she was howling like a wild animal, like a banshee. She's like, "Wah! Wah!
Wah! Wah!" She was falling down multiple times, and she's like, "This girl is obsessed with me. Poor thing."
Why is she so obsessed with me? Boy, I want to know. She's in the discovery phase of Karen.
And Ashley says, "It's past my bedtime, so I'm gonna have a bottle of wine by myself. Do not bother me."
I totally missed that.
She was so shady. Everything she was saying was really, really rude.
It was funny.
And Karen just went with it and loved it.
Yeah, Karen was losing her shit.
And Ashley's like, "That means this trip is a success." So Robin's like, "Finally, everyone's guard is down and we actually like each other. I'm crediting the new shoes that Juan got me. Juan loves me now."
"Ever since he got me those Reebok pumps, I've been pumping the air into our friendships."
So they go finally to the hot tub and they're like, all having fun and they're smoking cigars and they're like, "Oh my God, Charisse, that should be your new business. Sha-Sha cigar caps."
Well, yeah, because Sha-Sha was putting on a little shower caps. That way her weave wouldn't start smelling, which was funny because, like, of course, Sha-Sha wears a shower cap into the hot tub.
Thank you for saying that. What am I writing? I just watched this show literally 5 minutes before we started recording and I was like, "What's a cigar cap?"
No, it was a shower cap. And what was funny is later on when they had a flashback to the hot tub scene, Sha-Sha goes, "Shower cap by Charisse," which was, I don't know if anyone caught that, but it was a quiet reference, of course, to Sheree. And I was like, "Ooh, I love like when one housewife show references another housewife show. It's so breaking the fourth wall, Charisse."
Well, she's like being Beyonce. She's being the low rent Beyonce referencing a higher rent, you know, being the low rent.
That's Charisse. Right. She called herself the Beyonce of Potomac, right? Or something like that. What did she say?
Well, because Sha-Sha Fierce.
Sha-Sha Fierce, that's right. Well, I have to say, I thought that Charisse was wonderful at Coachella. When she came out on a hoverboard while Post Malone was singing, she's like, say congratulations, and she just drove off the stage. I was like, that was a real big, you know, Sha-Sha Fierce moment.
And instead of that big, huge Beyonce fan, she just had one of those little handheld fans so that her shower cap would ripple.
And instead of 100 dancers on, like, a pyramid, basically, like, dressed like a college band, she just had, like, Giselle with a tambourine next to her. Yeah, no, Sha-Sha just lit up the Sahara tent at Coachella.
Lemonade. Lemonade.
That's milk, lemonade. Milk, lemonade. Round the corner.
That's hard cider. So Chris goes back at home.
Yeah, now it's like Nima Colin's done, and we're going to have, we sort of cross cut between three different scenes. It's Monique with Chris, Ashley with Michael, and Candace with Chris.
Yeah, so Chris is like, "I need to marinate them steaks."
Oh, oh, oh. The entire house is like reverberating.
"Steve steak, stoke steak." So yeah, he's making steaks and Monique is so pissed. She's like, "Well, we're going to take the kids to Nima Colin. I think she calls it Nima Klein, which maybe that's the way to say it. I don't know.
Nima Klein.
And Chris is like, "I heard of it." She said, "Well, it would have been better with you than those ladies." And he goes, "What are you talking about? Those are your best friends."
And then he just like eats a whole chicken in one bite. He's like,
"Those ladies are your friends. Oh, 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 oh." And spits out all the bones. Like
he does that chicken thing. He does that thing that like cartoons do where he puts a fish in his mouth and he pulls out the skeleton.
So over with Ashley and Mike, she's like, oh my God, I was screaming. And he's like, oh, you did after a trip? She's like, no, I was screaming for fun. And he's like, you're cut off. Went over with Chris and Candy. They order a delightful dessert.
Key lime pie, which I was actually jealous of.
I love a key lime pie. Chris just shows up whenever they're eating something. Yeah,
he just storms in like the Kool-Aid man, just bursts through the walls. He's like, I'll take that. And he just takes it with his hand and scoops it in.
So she's
with her.
She's
Chris.
Like, yeah, she's just basically telling him what happened. And she's like, there's always a concern. Like, is it a concern or are you just trying to keep up mess? Which, yeah, she's right. She called it.
Yeah, it's true. Concern becomes like the buzzword of the day, because everyone, instead of calling people out, everyone's like, well, I have concerns. So Candace is sick of using that word. So now we go back to Monique, and she is mad. She's really pissed at Ashley that Ashley said that Monique had like 4 martinis, not just 2. And she's mad that Ashley was saying it behind her back, et cetera, et cetera. And so Monique goes, you know, just because you're a lightweight and that's how you're feeling, don't lump me into that category and being irresponsible. I'm like, so that's kind of it. You're basically saying I'm not a lightweight, so like I could handle those martinis, right? There's sort of like that implication.
That's like exactly what she's saying. She's saying, like, I'm not irresponsible. I stopped it too. Nor I don't get drunk until I have 5.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not a lightweight. Like, I'm okay with 2 martinis. So I'm like, that's not a denial that you drank. That's just saying, listen, I was fine. I was okay with that booze, which is not really
just
the point.
Such a dodo bird. Yeah. Like, she says, that's, remember when she said it on camera, she's like, oh, I had a couple of martinis and then I got tired. So weird. We're like, what are you doing? You know you're on TV, right?
Yeah. So then she tells Chris, she's like, you know, I'm sorry, no, Candace is talking to Chris now because there's so many Chris's. Candace is talking to Chris about the situation, and she's like, you know, Ashley said that Monique had 4 martinis before she went driving, but then Monique said that she had 2, and that's like a big difference. I'm like, yeah, they're both, that's like, you're still going to get a DUI, whether it's 2, whether it's 4. It's like, it's going to fuck you up. Like, it's martinis. Like, martinis are pure alcohol, and they can be big.
And Chris, speaking of they can be big, Chris is like, it sounds like it's not out of concern, it's out of being messy. And Monique's like, well, Ash rolled right with them, and it's hurtful. I thought we were building a friendship. And if I'm friends with someone, I have their back. And Ashley has her own back.
I'm like, you drove drunk. Okay. I don't think anyone's going to have your back for that. I'm sorry. You drove drunk. And even if you had felt like you had peaked at lunch and you were coming down from it, you got drowsy from it. Like, that's still driving drunk. Like, you may have felt okay, but that's driving drunk.
Here's a friend who will always have your back. Uber.
Yeah. So then Ashley tells Michael that Monique basically drank a whole bottle alone in the hot tub and then wound up barfing in the bushes. And we see footage. It's sort of weird. We just see footage of, like, first we see Monique in the hot tub and then we see Monique not in the hot tub and just, like, the bottle sitting there. So we just have to assume she was throwing up. So it's like, it's like Monique. like Monique, okay. So you just crashed your car after 2 martinis, and now the girls are saying that you drink too much. So what do? You drink a bottle alone and barf in the bushes? That's, you think, optics. Optics.
So we cut back to Candace at her lunch, and she, nothing really happened, but she's basically, like, giving her ice cream spoon a blowjob. She's one of those girls who's like, isn't it sexy? Like, it's not sexy. Put your spoon in your mouth. This is not a time to be thinking about sex. What is wrong with you?
So then we go back to Monique, and she's still, like, angry about Ashley, and she's like, I was totally blindsided and caught off guard. I'm like, are you talking about Ashley or the tree? Because
yeah, how do you think the tree feels?
And poor, I mean, you know, Monique, I'm like, Monique, you got to think about your phrases that she used. First she goes, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. I'm like, you literally just turned over your car. And she goes, I'm not trying to go 0 to 100. I'm like, do you hear these words? And then she goes, let me just try to go 0 to 75. I'm like, bitch, that is still above the speed limit. How about you go 0 to 45 on that one lane road? Okay. How about that?
Yeah, it was a pretty odd goal. I'm just going to go 75 now when I'm drinking.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do 5 drinks, but 0 to 75. So I'll be able to crash more, you know, more casually.
And finally, Chris says what she wants, which is, sounds like they got it out for you, mama. And she's like, thank you. That's what I'm saying. He's like, I heard it. I heard it.
He's talking about trees. Penguin. Yeah.
He puts a penguin in his mouth.
So he puts a penguin on a piece of bread. He's like, that was delicious.
Hey, Carl. Want to go to commercial?
Yeah, want to go to commercial break, Carl?
Do you like a commercial?
Do you like ads?
Do you like ads?
Do you like
ads? Carl.
So Giselle is in some weird, gigantic church hat, and she's reading from a Bible, but I don't think that I've read the Bible a couple of times because, you know, that's how I was raised, but she's just making things up. She's like, we are all on the same path. We are on a journey, and a journey gotta have love in it. Where's the love? Where's the love on the journey? I'm like, you are just repeating song lyrics now, man. Please put the Bible down.
Yeah, I had no idea what she was doing. And then she tells us that her ghostwriter for her novel basically told her, well, you know, you need to get back into character and remember what it was like to be the wife of a pastor of a mega church or whatever. So this was her attempt to recapture those days, which really does not bode well for this book, I have to say.
No.
I mean, a lot of things don't bode well for the book.
And the lady's like, it's like method acting, which was so funny to me. She's like, here I stand. I see Phaedra Parks behind the car having sex with my husband.
So then we see, so then Robin calls up on FaceTime. So Giselle, she loves that high angle FaceTime. I mean, she is basically doing Statue of Liberty with that phone at this point. She is just like, it is up. It is up way over her head.
Yeah. Do you see how she does that? It cracks me up every single time she does that. And she tells us, word on the street, it's the best book you'll ever read. I'm like, you're holding the Bible in your hand. It's like literally the greatest story ever told, okay? Don't compete with Jesus.
Yeah.
She's FaceTiming Robin with some other crazy fur hat. This is like some kangaroo-skinned hat or something.
From
not
Oz.
Kangaroo. Giraffe.
Oh,
giraffe.
Yeah. And the issue
is... She goes, hey, I got a bubble in my hand.
A bubble. So Giselle has not heard from Sherman in 29 hours, which is crazy because they haven't. They talk all the time. Yeah. So she is freaked out, and she is worried because there was an article about the two of them in People magazine, and she sent the link to Sherman, and then he hasn't spoken since, and she's worried that he's freaked out by the publicity because guess what? He's a very private person. Yada yada yada. I'm like, don't give this man any excuses. He knew who he started dating. You were on TV. He was on the reunion last year. Okay, in the background. So don't give him excuses of, well, he's private and this freaks him out. No, we've seen this on Vanderpump Rules. I do not excuse this behavior from these guys who start dating our reality stars and then try to shame them for being on reality TV. Absolutely not. Absolutely yes. Not. Quad Lunford.
She goes, I'm not a genie. And I believe in the Lord, but the Lord hasn't told me what this is. And I'm like, well, the Lord's a little busy right now. There's a lot going on in the world, okay? He'll get right back to you on what your boyfriend thinks about your People magazine shoot. You dope.
I don't know. I just, for some reason, I just get taken back to that place of like when I was dating, when there was someone you really liked and you would text them and they just like would not respond for like a day and a half or 2 days. And it's like such a mind fuck when people do that. Like, I hate that. Like, some people are fine with it, but that's not the way I roll. And it makes you crazy. Then you become the crazy one when it's them who's being unreliable. And then you're like, that's not fair. Like, they're the ones who are being jerks, but I'm the one who looks crazy as a result of it. I hate that. So even with Giselle, I'm like, I feel bad that she has to feel that way. So that's why I would get mad at Sherman. Like, don't do that. It's such a mean thing to do to someone.
Agreed.
You're like, yes, moving on.
No, just agreed. I don't need to add anything to that because I don't date. So I'm like, you didn't call me. Actually, when I date and people call me the next day, I'm like, ugh, haven't we already been through enough? What more do you want from me? Well, I smiled for 2 hours.
So now moving on, we go to Karen, and she goes to what looks like it's a law firm or something like that to see Matt Byers, and who we've met this season. He is her assistant slash lawyer slash publicist. And so they sit down at this conference table, and what was so funny, the editors are so shady, they say Matt, and the Chiron says Matt, and below it says Karen's, in quotes, assistant. I was like, that is so shady, because clearly this guy is a professional, you know, and the fact that they call him an assistant, so rude in the best possible way.
Is it her GBF? I'm guessing it's her.
Yeah, I think it's like her. He's like, what do you call him, the Swiss Army gay? Was he the Swiss Army gay, or was that someone else?
Oh, I think he was a Swiss Army gay.
Actually, I think Swiss Army gay was someone else, but we can have multiple Swiss Army gays because he's a little bit of everything for her.
Yeah. She's like, hello, would you like to cut open this envelope or unscrew this bottle of wine with your cork?
Welcome to the discovery phase of my business, Fragrance by Karen. Karen Fragrance, Discovery. Ha.
I'm here for a discovery. So Karen's like, thank you for taking time out of your busy day. I love the beauty industry, but most of all, I love empowering women. And he's just nodding like, oh, Jesus. You know, this is every conversation with her. It's like, I'm going to ask Matt to pull the weeds today, but I'm going to say it like this. I love empowering women, which is why I believe in women with front yards that can inspire other women.
No woman should have weeds in a front yard. That's what I firmly believe, Matt. So weed mine. Thank you.
Thank you for helping me on this journey, Matt.
Yeah. So she says, every woman needs a signature fragrance. I was like, I mean, that seems like really specific, that everyone needs a signature fragrance. And so she tells this whole story about her grandmother and how she used to put like cherry blossoms, I think, in Jurgens, and that was her scent. She made do with what she had. That's what I want to do. I want to make do with what I have. I mean, in this case, I don't really have anything, so I'm making do with nothing, but discovery.
I want something that smells like papers. Papers that ask Ray to go to court, even though I don't have to, because I have... What does an independent bank account mean? What does that smell like?
Here's what I want my fragrance to smell like. Laser discs. Like a big laser disc. I get so excited every time Ray puts in his laser disc of season one, episode one of Mad About You. Oh, exciting.
Mr. Bears, what does a Thighmaster smell like? That's the question.
I have the entire Ellen Barkin collection on Laserdisc, and I get so excited every time Ray pulls that out.
So she's like, here's what we've got so far, Byers. We've got so many venues that have said yes. There was a McDonald's, a Marriott, In-N-Out,
Shoebox,
parking lot of a Big Lots.
And she's like, well, I want Matt to be here because he seems to know a lot about it. I think he knows a lot about marketing. And when it's time to birth the fragrance, Matt will have an understanding from beginning to end, which will probably be within 5 minutes of each other.
There it is. Afterbirth. What empowers women more? And Matt told her, I have no idea what to do with us. This sounds crazy to me. I have never done anything like this in my life. And she's like, exactly what I need, Matt. Okay. You know, people say, oh, you have to have someone working with you all the time. That's weak. But I say, you're an idiot if you don't.
Jurgens. Discovery phase. I've given birth to a discovery phase, and the phase is called Matt.
Because you want to call it Empty Nester by Karen? And she's like, Empty Nester. No. Empty Nester by Karen Huger. No, Matt.
I'm putting that baby back in. Reverse birth. Reverse birth of Empty Nester. I was thinking about calling it something like fierce or fiery or bold. You know, something really original like that.
Separate deposit slips by Karen Huger.
Oh my goodness.
Living in a van with Karen Huger.
Fax machine by Karen Huger.
Yahtzee by Karen Huger. Is that taken? God, women are powered by the sound of dice shaking in a tin.
So Karen's going to put together a scent event. Because she wants to get the opinions of her friends about different scents and what do they think about the journey that I'm on, which, you know, is not going to go well because anytime these women put together a little focus group of each other, it's always a disaster. I mean, let's not forget Oz last season when Ashley tried to bring everyone in to give comments on the menu, etc.
Oh, girl, for a minute I thought you meant the show Oz. That was sure downhill. Downhill by Karen Huger.
Downhill. Prison. I want the scent of prison. And Ed Maloney. Little eye candy. Little eye candy. Never heard anyone. Little Ed Maloney eye candy.
Time served. By Karen Huger. So Candace and her mom go to this fancy hotel to look for
the
wedding venue. Oh, the Willard.
The Willard. That's where, well, I'm not, I'm still talking like Karen. The Willard is where they had high tea last season and met Monique.
Yes. That's where Monique was like, I have five houses. And Giselle hated her. Oh my God. You just can't forget the good shit from this show.
I know.
So they're there at the Willard talking to the whatever. And now, you know, Candace's thing is like, I can't do anything I want because my mom is always telling me what to do. And it's my wedding day. And she's always telling me what to do on my wedding day. Mom, it's not your wedding day.
Yeah.
So the mom's like, I love the chandeliers. I love the chandeliers. That's what I'm saying. And she's like, well, is this big enough for 300? And I don't want round tables, mom. So don't even start with me. I want rectangular.
Yeah. So, and then
and people can't really talk to each other at regular tables, you know. And she's like, that's what I want, mom. People not talking to each other.
Yeah. Okay. And so the lady from the Willard is there. She's like, well, for what you're saying and for this room and everything, you're looking at a budget of $100,000. And Candace is like, well, I also want flowers and I want a flower wall and I want to have two dresses. And then I want to have like a Dance Dance Revolution section in the corner and a chocolate fondue fountain, maybe an ice sculpture. I'll sleep at a tiger and then a dance floor that's made of quartz, but also diamonds. What about that? And so the lady just goes, well, what you want is probably double the budget, honestly. Like, it's easily double the budget. Anyway, bye. And she just, like, puts on her bag and walks out.
So she's like, you guys talk about this. I just almost choked to death on the Diet Coke.
I was wondering what that noise was.
I took a drink and it, like, hit my throat wrong. And it's like, oh, bleh.
Yeah. It sounded...
Thank you, Diet Coke, for the murder, okay?
It sounded like a beast was getting killed in Zelda.
It was a peacock that Chris grabbed by the neck and shoved down his face.
That's what I call a nice snack.
So the mom's like, look, I'll do my thing. She's like a cross between Karen Huger and Sasha. It's hard to find her voice, but I'll try next week.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'll do my thing. But look, I'm putting in $100,000. So eventually you're going to have to call your father if you want more than that.
Yeah. And then so then we learn about how Candace's dad left when she was like a baby. And so when the mom, you know, they start talking about the dad, and obviously the mom still has a lot of bitter feelings to this man because she's like, well, he was out chasing women. And, you know, you have to remember that when you get married, like, life gets real and you think everything's fairy tale. But then next thing you know, your man has left you and has go chasing some women and he's a real asshole. Da, 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 da. And then Candace starts to cry. She's like, Mom, it sounds like you're trying to warn me. You're making it scary. Like, oh, why do you have to do this?
Making me prepare for Chris to cheat. And she's like, no, you can't think that way. Yeah. She's like, but it's scary. I don't have an example of a marriage that works. And we both came from broken families and all this stuff. And she's like, Mom, let me just be idealistic and pretend it'll work.
Yeah. She goes, okay. I mean, we're both from broken families and like... Like, how do we avoid crashing and burning? I'm like, well, you can start without plunging yourself into debt over a stupid wedding. Get a Holiday Inn.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to talk about how much you're hurt, mother. That was 30 years ago. And her mom's like, yes, that was when he left you as a baby.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, my God.
Well, no, she's like, well, Mom, I mean, you know, she said something like, I never had a relationship with him because he left when, you know, he left when I was really young. She's like, yes, he did leave when you were just a baby, leaving me to hold to raise a baby. She's like, Mom.
Jeez. It's like, do you want her to ask him for money or not? It's like, pick a lane. So Candace walks off crying, and then the mom just sits there alone talking to the camera crew awkwardly.
Yes.
She's like, well, she's been upset because she sees it. She sees it how she wants to see it, not the truth. So if she wants to do that, fine. I mean, it just means no flower wall.
Pretty much. So then we saw a cutaway to the Potomac deer, which was great. A little fawn walking around. And then
the doe was there. Love the doe.
Yeah. And then from there we go to Ashley at her mom's place for more mommy issues. And now this scene was pretty intense. Like, as I've said many times, I'm really into the Ashley and her mom's storyline because I feel like it's a really untenable situation. I'm fascinated to see how it's going to play out. So she's with her mom. Her mom's like cooking something on the stove or cleaning the stove or something, and everything seems fine. And her name is Sheila, and she's Sheila callback. And so basically, she's there, and she's like, you know what, Ashley? I came to realize something that I realized I'm tired of not being myself. So at first it sounds like this is exciting. She's having a breakthrough. She's going to dump the deadbeat and like get her life back together. But then you realize she's just saying empty rhetoric that will hopefully like make Ashley get off her back.
Yes, because her mom's packing, right? So I guess somebody did make a move because the mom's packing and cleaning.
She was doing? I was confused because she was saying something about a hotel later. I didn't really know what was happening.
Yeah, so I think Michael finally was like, I'm sorry, but this is over. So Okay. Sorry, she's packing and getting the F out of here.
Yeah.
So she's frazzled because she's freaking out, you know? And she's being kind of sarcastic when she's like, well, guess what I've decided? I'm just gonna move, do everything, you know? She's like, well, mom, you know, she's like, what'd she say? The mom goes, I have a hindrance here. And she goes, what's the hindrance? And she goes, my family, I have a lot going on. You, your brother, a job, everything. Like, notice she never brings the husband up.
Exactly.
Who doesn't do shit. Exactly. As a hindrance. It's the kid's fault.
Well, what really annoyed me here is that she's like, listen, I'm sick of not being me. So I've decided I'm going to travel. I'm going to move away. I'm going to see the world, which is like, no, you're not going to do any of those things because you don't have any money. And you're just, this is classic someone who is in a really bad situation. And so they say something like this that sounds really positive, empowering, almost to convince themselves, you know? And it's like, but it's also when people are coming down, like, you need to get your shit together or you need to go to rehab or you need to do X, Y, and Z. Sometimes people will say this sort of stuff because it sounds like they're doing something. They are getting their stuff together, you know? So she's saying this like empty rhetoric about moving away and traveling, which is totally unrealistic. And Ashley knows it. And she's like, well, why are you doing this stuff? And when she says, well, I have a hindrance here. And it's like, what's their hindrance? She goes, it's my family. It's so fucking insulting, first of all, because the family is not the hindrance. The family is the one thing that's like keeping her alive, essentially, and not living in literally a box, according to Ashley. And so Ashley's like, you can't just do that. And so then Sheila's like, don't fucking judge me now, Ashley. Don't fucking judge me now. It's like, well, ma'am, why don't you drop your deadbeat boyfriend and then she won't judge you.
Yeah, and also that house is nice that they were paying for. It's really nice. Like, for you not to go through with your promises when you're getting your rent paid on that sweet house. Yeah, that's not good, lady. Okay. I'm trying to be on your side here, but you're not making it easy.
Yeah. And so then
she goes, don't judge me. Let's talk about Michael. Yeah. Who's not gonna get frustrated when the husband of your daughter won't respond to you? I have called him. And she goes, am I rude or nasty? Then call my ass back. And she's like, he's harboring resentment a little, mom. And the mom is just like heaving and walking around kind of manically.
Yeah, she was acting a little bonkers. I mean, she was mad, but it was one of those things where she was kind of like making it like a false equivalency between Michael not texting her back and her having this deadbeat boyfriend for the past 15 years who, like, has not had a job and has been leeching off of this money. Like, well, he may be bad, but Michael isn't texting me back. That's sort of like the implication, which was very frustrating, you know, to watch.
Yes. And she's like, look, he just doesn't want to take care of the deadbeat, you know? And she's like, don't defend him, Ashley. And she's like, I defend you to him, and I defend you to him. I'm going to defend you both. And she's, you're only defending him because he's telling you what he's telling you. He's telling her that you're with a fucking deadbeat and you're using his goddamn money because your husband won't take care of you. Like, that's what's happening, okay?
Exactly. And she's like, it's his money. And she's like, don't defend him over his money. And then, you know, and Ashley's saying, well, we need to have boundaries. And then she was like, oh, no. Well, you know what? Like, it's about family. It's about family. And there shouldn't be a boundary when it comes to family, you know, like turning it all around. She's like, listen, I don't do drugs. I don't do cocaine. I don't do crack. Like, you think this is bad. Like it can get way worse. You're not, like, enabling some drug habit, which is true, although also we don't know how
true
it is.
Well, you're heaving a lot. You're sure heaving and, you know, like, yeah. I don't know that that's not true. And also,
you're an
that's
addict to
not
the...
the truth. There's no you're saying there's no boundaries with money when you're family. And that's such crap. And you're also saying there's no boundaries with that, but you're threatening to leave because your kids just aren't giving it, you know, giving your kids are the stressful thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you may not be addicted to drugs, but you're addicted to this toxic relationship. Obviously, you like, you're in a bad circle. And she's saying things like, listen, Ashley, like, it, you can't just do this overnight. Like, it doesn't happen overnight. Like, in the real world, you can't just like do that, which I actually respect that, but the thing is, it hasn't been overnight now. It's been like a year and a half. You can do it in a year and a half. You could probably even do it in a week, to be honest. But like, you know, you can't just like that's facile rhetoric, discovery phase. But and then Sheila's like, I'm changing, which again is like the sort of thing you hear from someone who you'd normally have, like, it's time for them to go to rehab. And in this case, she doesn't necessarily have to go to rehab, but she needs like an intervention with this guy, obviously. And she's sort of getting one.
Yeah. She's just freaking out because her money is turning off and Michael's not answering because he knows she's going to try and manipulate him.
Yeah. So then she goes, so what do you want me to tell you, Ashley? What do you want me to tell you so you can report to Michael? And she's like, my husband, like, of course I'm going to talk to Michael. It's his money, you know?
God. And she tells her, I wouldn't be able to give you this money. It's Michael's money. Like, I would be able to take care of myself with that money, you know?
Yeah.
And so the mom's just freaking out, you know, and I get it. But now you're going to be fucking forced to do something, and that's it. So you can't now, I hope that she doesn't take the option of like, look, I'm homeless now. Yeah. And it's your fault.
Exactly.
I hope she
will.
Like, gets it together and empowers herself and finds her way out of this. And I'll tell you, I did not get very responsible until my ass was kicked out of the house. Granted, it was like at 15. But still, like, you really have to learn when you have to make your own money, you learn real quick.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like, lady, you were in a house. That's not like, it wasn't that they rented you an apartment. That was a house. Like, neither of us live in a house, you know? That's night. I'm sorry.
Dream guys.
Someday somebody's gonna go and buy us a little house. Till then, baby, we're gonna live in our apartments. Don't you know? Things will change.
Carney Wilson wouldn't even inspire this mom. Like, that's how far gone she is. She wouldn't even hear that song and be like, oh my god, I'm inspired.
Yeah. Do you hear my Shannon Bedore chair? It's really being Shannon Bedore today.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a little
ow,
squeak in it.
Ow. So. Ow.
That means you're worked up.
Ow. 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 Sorry to everyone who's like, where is that noise coming from? It's my Shannon Bedore chair. It squeaks. It's like Ronnie's screen door. It squeaks and my chair squeaks.
Oh, and thank you to whoever sent me that Amazon link to WD-40. I got some. It came in my Amazon Prime this morning. I haven't used it yet, but don't say I don't listen to you guys, okay?
So now let's move over to the scent event. Karen's scent event, where we meet a great new character, Sue.
Oh my god, Sue. Sue, where am I sitting? She's like, you'd sit where you'd like to sit.
Yeah, her...
So fancy.
Her accent, at first I thought it was British, then I thought it was Deep South, then I thought it was South African. It was somewhere in the mix. This lady has a big blonde wig. She sort of looks like... Is it Patsy from Ab Fab? Which is the blonde one from Ab Fab.
Yeah, she does.
She sort of looked like
her. She's the blonde one from Ab Fab.
She was straight out of the 80s, like a Dynasty reject. She was wearing a little, like... choker that was like too tight and too high on her neck. It looked like a little sombrero. It looked like a neck sombrero. Like it was a sombrero for where the Adam's apple might be.
She's like la cucaracha, por comi descamisad. So she's like, it came together in 2 minutes to spare. How do you like my new bling ring? And it's I thought she was serious because these shows, you know. I believe anything they tell me. I'm like, that is huge. Okay. That's as big as her necklace. And Karen's like, every girl should have a napkin ring like this.
Yeah. Oh my God. This woman was amazing. So, so everyone's showing up at this scent event and it's raining outside. And Monique's like, why does it always have to rain when I wear Chanel? I'm like, shut up, Monique. Shut up. Stop it.
Because God hates you and your shallow ass, okay? Maybe that's why. Yeah. So the girls start gathering, and Matt's just kind of sitting in the background already eating, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Monique is like, well, I'm not talking to anybody today. Ashley showed her truth, and I believe her, and I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, well, not with martinis, and that's how it needs to stay.
Exactly. She goes, I'm detoxing the bad energy. I'm like, first of all, there's no indication you're detoxing anything, because you are literally holding a wine glass as you say that.
God. You're right. Like, she's consistently bad with her language.
Like, everything like, she says, dude. She is like, I am getting a DUI. Don't understand it. It's like, Monique, please, you just have to, like, work on your language here.
God, you know what? If you're going to be friends with me, you better learn to walk in a straight line.
This friendship is crashing and burning. Okay.
God, Ashley has made me so mad. I'm going to throw myself in a tank.
I'm so furious, I'm seeing double. She better stay in her own lane.
You have gone over the limit, Ashley. Over the limit.
She is really spinning out of control.
She just wants to shake it up. She just wants to shake it up.
So anyway, Ashley does show up, and she is wearing some crazy dress that has like, it's like, it looks like someone cut out her dress from like a thing of embroidery, and there were still like edges that they didn't get close enough to cut on, you know?
Yeah. It looked like her mom was trying, like her new phase is trying to prove that she can craft.
Yeah. She had like little wings. It was like these little, but it wasn't wings. They looked like the fins on an eel.
Yes.
You know, that sort of like the ribbons that are on the up and the top and the bottom.
Yes. But also by Holly Hobby. You know, it's like really little girly.
Holly Hobby eel fins.
And then, of course, we mentioned this already, but Candy Ass is walking around with, they keep putting like fade stuff over her nipples, like her nipples are hanging out. Yeah. And I couldn't tell if they were or not, but it was cracking me up. And Ashley's like, I didn't know we were in the Playboy Mansion. And then enter Giselle, who looks like a madam, you know. So I was like, oh my God, you could be talking to both of them.
Yeah, she just looked like a giant trashy rose. It was very like silk stockings-esque, her big red outfit. So,
welcome, Giselle. You look like a stinking rose. Would you like to come on my scent journey?
All right, everyone. There is food, but it's self-serve only. We couldn't afford a waiter this time.
Giselle is so shady. She's like, self-serve. Like, okay, Giselle, you jerk. So Robin, of course, is last. She's like, oh, worth it. I get to spend more time with my man when I live far away.
Yeah. So Karen starts addressing the group. She goes, well, you guys know I'm on a new journey. A new journey, a scent journey, a journey of scent and discovery. That's discovery phase, a phase of journey. You know what I'm saying?
Let's welcome up Sue. Now, some people might think that someone's going to sue me, but you've misheard. They're suing Ray. I am being sued, as in, here's Sue. You just got sued.
She got sued. And look, her neck is a tribute to Coco. You ever see that movie? It's wonderful.
So she's like, I hope you have fun today and scentertainment.
You all have a scent personality survey. Whoever fills it out first gets their own neck sombrero. There are 8 scent families. The first family is fresh. So then they all. She goes,
fresh, that's the citrus category.
Citrus, okay. Like lemon and grapefruit, orange. So she starts sending around the little scent sticks, and Charisse smells. She goes, it's nice, and then just looks at her phone. Like, Charisse, pay attention, okay? Stop with your Sudoku.
Wake me up when they hit the champagne fact. And just goes, this is not fresh. This is musk.
So Robin's like, are you detecting a chill from Monique? And sure enough, Monique is being quiet. She's not being a chatterbox like usual. So something's on her mind, and the ladies are sure to get to the bottom of it soon. But first, woodsy scents.
And Candace goes, my dad would wear this. I'm like, okay, is this your entree into your lunch with your mother? Because this is not the time, young lady.
Yes. It's like, say, Chypre. This is, all right, ladies, this is Chypre. 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 Everyone say Chypre. 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 They're like, what? Sheeps? Chypre?
What do you think of when you smell Chypre? Yeah. And Giselle's like, what do you think of a teacher in second grade when the teacher smelled like grapes? What? That's what I think.
So they're all just smelling different things, like nutmeg, cinnamon, vanilla, oriental, which are whatever oriental smell. I don't know. I was like, that feels weird.
Yeah, that was awkward.
I was like, but you're. I think you're allowed to say oriental about objects. I think that's not, I shouldn't say allowed.
Rugs.
No, you can't say, you don't say oriental rugs. I thought that what it was is it's impolite to refer to, and it's wrong to refer to Asian people as oriental, because oriental is a type of thing, right?
I mean, I don't know. I just called a rug oriental. I said, oh, I love your oriental rug. And they said, you're not allowed to say oriental rug anymore. But I forgot the substitute words. So now I just say, I like your rug, and just leave it at that.
It might be passé. I mean, I could be wrong about the oriental thing. And either way, I try not to say that word as much as possible, except, of course, on a podcast, just blasting it out to everyone. But anyway, just trying to find the proper words, because I don't want people to be upset. People should not be offended when they listen to their Real Housewives of Potomac podcast. So please, someone weigh in so we stop making a fool of ourselves right here.
Oh, my God.
They're
coming with pitchforks. Like, you said oriental.
Well, I mean, listen, if it's offensive, I don't want to offend someone.
Yeah.
I like, no, check I me. Someone please check me. I'm out of control.
Check your oriental at the door, sir. So Ashley's like, Karen goes, what's your vote? Fresh or oriental? And Ashley's like, fresh oriental. That's my pick. Well, who doesn't like fresh oriental? Am I right? So Sue is like, oh, it will be making you all scents.
You all are going to get a scent gift from Sue. And they're like, oh my God. That's basically it. You know, I once saw, when Sudoku was really big, I once saw that there's a, there's like an app. Is it an app or a game? There's something called like Susan Voorhees Sudoku Challenge. And apparently there's a woman like Susan in the UK who is like renowned for her Sudoku skills. And I wonder if it's the same Sue.
Hello, I'm Sue Doku.
I have to look up this lady.
I went camping with my friends this weekend. We were fighting over whether or not we're going to play Yahtzee or Uno. Okay, like, we're very intelligent, me and my friends. So we were having this fight, and Trisha's like, I'm going to be on the side of Anna Uno because she likes cards. And I was like, well, I'm on the side of Andrew Yahtzee. And then we made this whole relationship between Andrew Yahtzee and Anna Uno. And, like, they divorced because one likes die and one likes cards. So then I come back, and here we are with Sudoku, the woman who ruined it all. She doesn't like either cards or die. She likes numbers.
By the way, I looked it up. The woman's name is Carol Vorderman. And she has a game called Carol Vorderman Sudoku, the board game. And in Carol's own words, the description, I am a Sudoku addict. It seems that Sudoku addicts are male, female, young, and old. We're all hooked. This game is the next stage of Sudoku craze. It allows players at different levels to compete fairly against each other. I love it. It's perfect for all the family and a fantastic value for the money. Signed, Carol Vorderman, relation, Sue.
Sudoku. You can call me Sudoku. I wear napkin rings as rings.
So, anyway, that was a tangent. Candace and Ashley go to pee, and now that they're gone, Giselle asks Monique, like, what's wrong? Why the long face, etc. And basically,
Sasha jumps in.
Yeah.
Because Monique's again is like, I'm detoxing energies. And Robin goes, detox? Where'd that come from? Mm-hmm. And Sasha goes, I think it was the correlation of insinuating that correlating drinking is correlated with driving bad.
It's the correlation of the insinuation of the assumption of the presentation with the graduation and the congratulation.
We're the Nathan.
Like, shush up, be quiet.
So Robin's like, but we were fine in the hot tub, remember? I just told everyone we made up. And Giselle's like, yeah, in the hot tub, you were like, oh, whoop, whoop.
And Monique goes, well, at that time, I was nice and toasted. I'm like, so you're saying that you were too drunk to be mad at Ashley about her saying you were drinking. Is that what you're saying? You said you were nice and toasted. Do you realize this is, like, it's like, Monique, you need to do...
Sorry for coughing.
It's okay. She literally said I was nice and toasted. That's why she wasn't mad at Ashley.
Well, at least it wasn't, you know, too toasted to be in a car. She's moving forward.
She's really bad at deflecting these drinking problem rumors. So,
and these girls are never going to let anything go. Like, don't say anything because you're just giving them something to talk about. So Giselle's like, oh, so you're saying you drank to calm down. And she's like, in the hot tub, I didn't drink. It wasn't in the hot tub I drank. That was a cigar.
Shaped like a wine bottle. That I accidentally
red
inhaled.
Liquid pours out of it.
Yeah. I accidentally inhaled. If I inhaled, I mean drank. So naturally I had to throw up.
Yes. So Giselle goes, oh, so you threw up in the bushes over a cigar. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's in so much trouble. So that we see a clip of the hot tub with Monique going off to barf, and then they show a close up of the champagne bottle.
Yeah, again, this is the second time. As if like this time around, it's like, oh, I see, she's smoking the cigar. It's like,
yes.
I don't know about that. So Monique's like, well, I'm just going to have a private conversation with Ashley and talk about it. And she's like, no, do it at the table. You know, and they're like, you know, Ashley, if, you know, Monique is the one who was saying you got to call people out. The moment it happens, you got to call them out and put them on blast in front of everyone. And now she doesn't want to do it. So Giselle's like, uh-uh, not on my reality TV show. You are going to have a confrontation right here, right now.
I have nothing to talk about this season. So let's do this.
Now, we went to commercial break and something strange happened. There was a promo for Your Husband is Cheating on Us, and they were making it seem like it had never aired. They were basically like, on Your Husband's Cheating on Us, the lights going up is just the first part of the drama. And it's like, look at all the backstage drama, yada, yada, yada. Your Husband's Cheating on Us, premiering June something or another. And I'm like, and it said like new series. I'm like, what? Is Bravo trying to gaslight us? Like, are they trying to make it act like they did not just show this show like 2 months ago?
Well, they only showed, I think, two episodes of it, two or three. So I don't know if it was like a mini run or like a mini pilot, and then maybe like it got.
Well, they did two episodes, and then they moved it to Friday nights, and then I don't know what happened then. I kind of feel like they probably retooled it and are like, okay, we're going to change it around, and we're going to change the marketing around it, because I wonder if people didn't, they probably didn't play up the amount of drama, and they probably did not market it correctly. But I just thought that was weird. Like, do they know that we already knew it was on TV? Like, do they, like, what?
Yeah,
what
I think they took it in for a nice old fashioned recut. But who knows?
They did that to Sweet Home Oklahoma, but they didn't, but with Sweet Home Oklahoma, they didn't make it sound like it was a new show. They just were like, and they're back. And in fact, it looks like that show is coming back, but just being called Sweet Home. And it's going to follow. It's going to be less about, like, these three ladies having antics. It's going to be more about, like, interior design with antics.
Well, one of the ladies quit.
Which
the
one?
Kind of the boring one.
Which one was the...
So now it's the designer lady, who's the really tall, kind of scarecrow-y one, who has a design firm. And then Pumps, who's the chunky girl who puts her Fitbit on her dog to make her friend think she's running around. Which, of course, I thought was hilarious. I love a good old-fashioned comedy. And so Pumps is her friend, but it's just going to be an hour-long design show where they're doing something different every week, I think. They totally changed it, which I don't know why, because it was such a popular show.
I thought it was really cute. I'm surprised. So was it Lee? Lee was the one who quit?
No, I think Lee is the designer.
I don't remember, because I remember there was Pumps and then the two other women who looked well, there was one woman who was married to that guy who was the lawyer. And then
the designer.
Okay, so Lee is the other woman. So Lee quit. I liked Lee. I wonder why she would quit.
I don't know. I think she didn't like the attention. Honestly, I just didn't follow the gossip.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought it was strange that Bravo was, and I'm looking even right now that they have, I'm going to look into it. I'm going to report back because I think it's so weird that Bravo did that. Anyway, so we come back to the show and Monique starts to confront Ashley about the drinking and now the screaming begins. And Monica's like, you know, you made it, you know, like you started talking about behind my back about how much I was drinking. And now she's like, you know, I didn't say anything about your drinking until you started to say it. And then once you started to say it, you know, then I felt okay to say it. But I didn't say it because I thought it'd be mean. Like when I called you up, oh yeah, that's what it was. Monique was like, how come that when you called me on the night of the accident, you weren't like, you were drinking so much, you were just nice. And now she's like, well, because I thought it'd be mean to bring up how much you were drinking when you just got into a car accident, you know, and I wasn't going to say anything until you started talking about that you were drinking beforehand. So then I started talking about it.
Yeah. She's like, well, I would, if that was my issue, then I would have parked the car in the garage and pretend it didn't happen. And Ashley's like, yeah, but that's not an isolated incident because you drank a whole bottle of wine on the bus. And she's like, I was not driving. And you said I had four drinks or five drinks. Yeah. And I have things to lose, unlike someone who gets an allowance once a month. I'm like, excuse me, lady. Everything you're doing is paid for by your husband.
Yeah.
Get off your high horse. Okay?
Yeah.
And I generally like Monique, but that's a low blow from someone married to a rich dude with five houses.
I mean, I do like that. Ashley's like pretty upfront about her situation with Michael. So she never seems to, she doesn't get all like pissy about being on allowance. I mean, she's like very upfront about it. But yeah, when Ashley was like, you drank a whole bottle of wine by yourself. And Monique's like, oh, now I can't drink some wine. And Ashley's like, yeah, but like you were like way ahead of everyone else. And then Monique's like, oh, okay, well then you go brag about drinking 4 to 5 beers. You just drank 4 to 5 beers that lunch. You bragged about that. She's like, and then Ashley's like, but did I crash my car? No, I did not. And by the way, this is not, I mean, obviously drinking 4 to 5 beers before driving is also not good. But I also feel like drinking 4 to 5 beers is not compared to drinking 4 to 5 martinis. You know, 2 beers does not compare to 2 martinis.
Yeah.
Still not smart to drive after either one of those, but like it's different, girl. It's different.
Yes. And then so Susan's like, Matt, take care of this. Take care
Matt,
of it.
Do Todd. This, Matt.
And he stands up and then he's like, oh, hell no. And he sits back down.
He looks terrified. He just sort of stands up like, okay. And then he just sits there like, Matt. My sombrero, it's about to fall off my neck. Help! Get the tip!
So Monique's like, you aren't my friends, and I ain't got time for bottom-ass bitches.
Yeah.
Which was kind of funny. And Karen's like, stop it now! Stop!
Do not do this here. Do not. I'm on a discovery journey of phases and scents. No, stop it. Not in front of Sue.
We're supposed to be journeying to my discovery.
I mean, I have to ask you all to leave. You can't conduct yourself. Stop. Security. And Sue's like, clink, 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 clink. Ladies, I'm British. Ladies.
And Karen goes to the security guy. She goes, well, definitely say it's time to go. And he's like, it's time to go.
The event is over. We've discovered the journey. The journey ends here. The journey's over.
So then Candy is still trying to stick up for Monique just because it's like one of the only people being truly friendly with her and Ashley, you know. And she's like, well, maybe it's just her blood alcohol level would be higher because of body mass index. No, I don't know.
No, she goes, well, maybe her BMI will be higher. And then Ashley's like, why are you talking about BMI, body mass index? Are you talking about blood alcohol index? She's like, I don't know. I guess so. And she's like, so now they're outside. And Candace is still complaining. She's about what Ashley was saying. So Ashley just like walks up to her and Monique is like, would you get away with me with those freaking ass wings? Just fly away with those wings. And Ashley's like, well, you have those wings too.
So Monique, she's like, it could literally tarnish everything I built. And she tells us, look, I have always worked charity for the whole DMV area. And this could ruin everything I've got going. Like, you have a charity for the DMV area? What does that mean?
Well, that means that's the DC, Maryland, Virginia area.
Oh, I thought she was saying the Department of Motor Vehicles.
She actually probably meant that. She probably was like, I literally have a charity, like a beautification for the street the DMV is on. But Monique,
I have a parking charity, and this could hurt it.
So I thought that was like one of the funniest moments when Monique goes, you could tarnish everything I've built. And they like show Robin just laughing in the background, just going like, everything I've built. Oh my God, shut up. Now that's the Robin I like. The one who snickers in the corner and just like laughs at the bullshit people say.
And then Giselle goes, she said, fly with the wings. They were cracking up.
I loved how they were laughing at Monique being ridiculous. Everything she's built. I mean, you're right. I mean, Robin's right. Like she's not built. What has she built? What has she built?
She's had 2 kitchens with fish tanks, so I think we should give some credit.
Yeah, and so, and then Ashley's like, so I don't think Monique crashed her cars because she was drunk, but alcohol makes you drowsy. I'm like, yeah, that's called drunk driving. If you get drowsy from alcohol and you crash your car, that's drunk driving.
And so Robin and Ashley are screaming at each other, and then it just gets to Charisse smiling, like just that like little smile. Charisse loves this shit.
Yeah.
And
Ashley goes,
like, what? Now you're trying to blame me? Because Monique is so mad that she's like, no, and now you all see it. Nah, nah, nah.
And you
wait a minute. Well, why are you blaming me?
Well, because, first I have to say, I love when Ashley goes, yeah, she was just tired and the martinis just didn't wake her up any. I was like, exactly. Exactly. Funny, the martinis just didn't seem to really wake you up when you were tired. But yeah, so now Monique is saying that she doesn't like the way Robin judged her for the way she drank the bottle of Camus. So now Monique is yelling at Robin. Robin's like, no, I'm in this. What did I do? And then they're just, you know, Monique's going off like, yap, yap, yap. And then she tells Robin to shut up. So when Monique tells Robin to shut up, Robin starts to be like, you just tell me to shut up. You just tell me to shut up. So she gets like right up in Monique's face. And yeah, I actually felt like Robin wasn't even trying to fight. I feel like she just was like, I'm just going to fuck with this girl right now. Cause she's such a tizzy. I'm just gonna get in her face and see what she does.
Karen's like, cause Monique was like, well, the green eyed bandits are pinky in the brain or whatever. Yeah. They're trying to make it look like I'm a drunk. Shut up.
Security, Sue, get security. Oh heavens.
Not on my dime.
Matt, get involved here. Matt, where's Matt? I just see a pillar of smoke. Where's that? Dust.
And the final line of the night is Monique going, get out of my face before I choke you out with this umbrella.
It was so extra. I'm like, Monique's like, pump the brakes. I'm like, no, Monique. See, that's what you didn't do.
She's like, you're about to kill a baby tree if you keep speeding like this. She's like, I just want to find a happy median.
You really crossed the double line, okay?
Don't shrug your shoulder at me.
I'm going to ditch these girls.
Yield, ma'am.
You better. I'm going to swerve. Swerve.
And that brings us to the end of Potomac.
Yes, thank you, Potomac, for giving us a reason to make drunk driving jokes. That's fun. God, that was so funny. I was cracking up. I could not believe how many times Monique was saying I could not believe how many ridiculous things Monique was saying in defense of her drunk driving. You gotta listen to words that come out of your mouth, Monique. You gotta listen. So funny. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the finale of the Vanderpump Rules reunion. We have a little fun surprise for this week. We won't talk about it just yet until it's locked in. But we have a fun surprise, so everyone stay tuned for that. Oh, and one more thing, which we totally forgot to mention last week. We said we're going to mention it Monday last week, and we forgot. So now it's Monday this week. We have the winners of our Leah Black contest from our Chicago show for best outfit /costume/shirt, etc.
Yes, if you want wonderful facial products or fabulous jewelry, go over to leahblack.com.
How fun is that?
So these winners are so great. Mera Maid, it's spelled on Instagram, it's at M-E-R-E, Mir, M-A-I-I-D, Maid. She made a bright pink Trixie Monocle jacket, like a tour jacket for Trixie Monocle, which was badass. So that's our first winner. Congrats, biatch.
Yeah, congrats. And then our second winner is Marilyn Johns. What was Marilyn's, what was her Instagram again for everyone to follow?
Her Instagram is at the Marilyn Johns.
Very easy. And that's J-O-H-N-S, not a J-O-N-S situation. So she had a t-shirt that was basically a recreation of the Bubba art in Katie and Tom Schwartz's apartment, and just says like Bubba, BB, 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 Bubba, Bubba, Bubba. So
and she also wore a Katie terrible leopard tattoo thing on her wrist. Forearm. I mean, the girl went all out.
It was two great examples. There were actually a lot of amazing things. And just remember, anytime we do these giveaways and you're coming to our shows, be sure to use the hashtag on Instagram so that way you can be eligible for the contest. So congrats, guys. You guys looked amazing.
Yes, everybody. We love you. Can't wait to see the shirts you guys come up with. And thanks, Leah Black, at leahblack.com.
And go to watchwhatcrappens.com get tickets for all our shit. We want to see all of your faces in every single one of those seats. Every single one of the seats at every single one of our shows. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com to buy a ticket. Make sure you tell your friends. Can't be just you. You got to bring a friend. And buy those Ben Ron shirts, because they're only here for a week. And once they're gone, they are gone.
Yep. And next week on Tuesday, so a week from tomorrow, is our Google Hangout. So if anybody wants to do that, you join on Patreon. That's a big video hangout party where we all laugh our asses off. What am I even talking about today?
It's okay. You're drunk. Monday. You're drunk. You're drunk and driving. Drunk and driving the podcast. You guys, yeah.
So, all right, everybody. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.